910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News Healthcare Killing Update. I'm Michelle Franzen. A break in the case after last week's fatal shooting of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. New York City police say Chiefs of Detectives Joseph Kinney says Altoona police in Pennsylvania arrested a man on unrelated charges.
A man was taken into custody today in Altoona, Pennsylvania this morning. He has been identified as Luigi Nicholas Mangione. He's a male, 26 years old. He was born and raised in Maryland.
ABC's Aaron Katursky on what led police to a fast food restaurant and the suspect.
McDonald's employee in Altoona, Pennsylvania, recognized him from images police had shared through the media around the world, and police credited that individual with recognizing the person, calling police who were able to take him into custody, where he's now charged on gun offenses.
This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has received $10 million in grant funding to support mental health services for students. According to a press release, the funding will be spread out over a five-year period and will be used to increase the recruitment, retention, and diversification of mental health professionals in schools. The funding can also be used for programs like teleservice for mental health and for school districts to develop their own unique initiatives. Wisconsin was one of 22 states to receive the grant funding. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has announced $7 million in funding to help address the opioid crisis. According to a press release, the state DOJ received the funding from the Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Use Program grant. The goal of the program is to connect with residents struggling with opioid addiction before they suffer an overdose or law enforcement agencies get involved. The funding will be used for outreach efforts, self-referral, and officer intervention programs, and support services like mental health care. An Arizona man who led Barron County authorities on a high-speed chase, ending in a crash and injury to his passenger, has entered a plea deal. 28-year-old Raul Olia Velasquez entered a guilty plea to first-degree recklessly endangering safety and misdemeanor causing injury while operating under the influence on Friday. The chase occurred in September after Rice Lake officers responded to reports of the two men acting belligerent in a restaurant before they fled. A Rice Lake squad car also suffered damage during the chase. An environmental group fighting against the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project in Superior has petitioned the state Supreme Court to get involved. Clean Wisconsin and the Sierra Club filed a petition on Thursday challenging the Public Service Commission's approval of the controversial project. The plant facility would be a $1 billion gas-fired power plant, and environmental activists say the Public Service Commission did not give environmental standards enough consideration before giving the project its approvals. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pack gets ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's back to work for the Packers, who play the Seahawks in Seattle. Next on Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals in Arizona yesterday 30-18. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray throwing two interceptions in the first half that the Seahawks converted into a pair of touchdowns. Women's college volleyball, Wisconsin and Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. The Badgers will face Texas A&M, the Golden Eagles against Utah. Both matches set for Friday. NBA, the Bucks at home tomorrow night for an NBA Cup quarterfinal against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in Brooklyn versus losing in Boston on Friday.
The difference tonight than in the Boston game. Tonight, we trusted everything. Giannis made a great pass to Bobby for a three. Dame had the three, but they were closing out and he swung it to Chris. That's called trust. That's how you win games. When you start doing that, your team becomes unguardable.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and rather mild today, with high temperatures above freezing reaching the mid-30s. As chances of rain rolls in, turning to a wintry mix and flipping to all snow tonight, as temperatures fall below freezing to the teens. Accumulations look to stay under an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jazz Gallery for the Arts in Milwaukee is having a fundraiser. We'll find out how you can help out, and we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
What is up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this Monday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talk about waking up to a ton of news. Holy cow. We're going to get to all of it, including the news that's been breaking over the last hour or two about a 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, who is the suspect that has been arrested in the killing of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. I'm going to get into some of the evidence that police have seized from Mr. Mangione. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to get to, holy cow, Bashar al-Assad gone. A 10-day push by the rebel forces in Syria resulting in the fall of a nearly 50-year-old totalitarian regime that deployed chemical weapons against its own people. We're going to talk about all of that. I also have a great guest joining me today. Two of them, in fact. I've got Kate Smith. She is the director of the LGBTQI plus policy center at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk about the oral arguments last week in the Scrimeti case. She is joining me again at 2:30, bottom of this hour, and at 3:30, it is Overtime with Dom Salvia. My little buddy is going to be joining me. We are going to talk in detail about Donald Trump's mystifying interview on NBC yesterday morning. I guess that's the only way I can say it. I have listened to the whole thing a couple of times, y'all. And yes, the press has covered a lot of specific substantive topics, but there's a couple of hot takes from yours truly that you're not going to want to miss. I'm going to start that discussion at the top of the hour. But we have, of course, here at Civic Media, kicked off our grown-up gift list text to win sweepstakes contest today. I hope you have been participating in the 7, 11, 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. hours. We will drop a word of the hour on you. You text that in. You will either win $100 or maybe a little overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. You got to text in via the app, everybody. So go get that app. It's free from wherever you find your apps. And then, of course, we're going to choose one grand prize winner at the end of the sweepstakes contest. Super cool. You can check out all the details and the rules at civicmedia.us/grownupgiftlist. I wish I could participate, Cardi, but we can, sadly, being employed here, we cannot do so. But I do want to give all of you the breaking news just coming out over the last couple of hours that Again, Luigi Mangione has been arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He is the person of interest, a suspect. My word, that word has not yet been used by either New York City Police or Altoona, Pennsylvania Police. Here is the question that I want to ask all of you. It's a couple of questions. The first question is, how do you feel about this? There was apparently a 3-page handwritten manifesto that police have gotten their hands on, written by Mr. Mangione. The accounts that I've heard so far, it hasn't been released, is that it is anti-corporate. I'm not surprised by that anti-corporateness. But how does Mr. Mangione's arrest as a person of interest in the killing last Wednesday at 6:45 a.m. Eastern Time of United Healthcare CEO, what was your gut feeling when that occurred? And I'd also, here's the bigger question that I want to ask. And this ties into the Trump interview today, because we watched Mr. Mangione, if it is indeed he, allegedly shoot somebody down with intentionality, with planning, meticulous planning, with an agenda. We watched someone commit intentional homicide, right? We've all seen the videos. We have watched a national law enforcement apparatus and media apparatus respond to this. If you're on social media, you've probably seen lots of posts about this. So all of this incredible attention. And again, watching someone commit a crime on video. And Mr. Mangione, due to a very aware customer or employee at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is how police arrested Mr. Mangione. Someone either eating or working at a McDonald's thought, this dude looks a little bit like those photographs of this guy, and he's acting weird. And they called it into the Altoona police. The old, if you see something, say something. But here's what I'd like to ask you. We have watched people commit crimes on videotape before. Okay? We watched people commit crimes on January 6th, 2021. And even if the people on January 6, 2021 genuinely believed that Donald Trump had won the election, which he did not, they nonetheless broke the law. They nearly killed Officer Daniel Hodges, who's been a guest on my show twice. They engaged in illegal trespass. They damaged governmental property. They threatened law enforcement agents. We watched that happen. We have video of these people doing it. And yet, as confirmed by Donald Trump during his interview yesterday on NBC, it seems that the president of the United States is poised to pardon some of these people. So, an angry mob of mostly white people committed a whole lot of crimes on January 6, 2021. Donald Trump's looking to pardon some of them. A very rich white guy CEO gets shot down in Midtown New York City. We find the killer. It brings to mind for me some of the other crimes that we have witnessed on videotape that we have not found our way to justice as a society. And I was born in 1977. So I watched what happened to Rodney King. And I remember the day a jury acquitted the police officers who nearly beat Mr. King on videotape to death. So what does justice mean to you in this country? Because once you get past all the partisan rancor and all of these claims about political bias and law enforcement, I'll tell you what I see. I see different rules for rich and powerful people. And then I see rules for everybody else. And heaven help you, if you are not rich and powerful and you are a black or brown person in this country. Because Rodney King, he didn't get any justice. LA erupted into rioting after that. OJ Simpson, rich and powerful guy. He got the big acquittal. So I feel really in this very bizarre place as I watch our national response to this CEO's murder. And in the same breath, Daniel Penny, a former Marine who choked a man to death on the New York subway, has just been acquitted. That was on tape too. Where do we draw the line? What does justice actually look like in the United States? Do you feel like the system is fair? Because the thing that we can talk about the Hunter Biden pardon too. And I'm going to go through one of the, at least some of the evidence that they've collected off of Mr. Mangiano. And I also want to tell you what I think is going to legally end up being like the big argument in his criminal case. But do you feel like our legal system actually gets us to anything close to justice in this country? Because I don't know. I'm looking around and it doesn't feel that way to me. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I'm a lawyer. And here's the thing. And there's a lot of arguments about the Hunter Biden pardon. But I'm going to make this one again and again and again and again. And that is, if we're all looking around going, what would be totally unfair to punish or imprison Hunter Biden because nobody gets charged like he did. If that's true, then why the hell is the penalty what it is for the crimes with which Hunter Biden was charged? If that's so unfair, then why the hell does the federal criminal code say that these are the appropriate penalties for that crime? Might it be that we have a long history of effectively operating our criminal justice system via extortion? And that means if you're poor and you don't have access and power, prosecutors will charge every conceivable thing under the books. Whether or not that makes sense from a justice perspective, and they will do that to extort pleas. And in fact, Donald Trump made that very argument on NBC this past weekend. So where are you in this argument? Because it's a bizarre moment. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. You got Cardi on the board. If you give him a call, be sure you say hello. We're going to take your thoughts when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Alba Show.
For a while there, it was rough.
What is up, everybody? Happy Monday, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. And certainly, folks, we got a lot of real news happening this Monday. Join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm talking about the arrest of a man by the name of Luigi Mangiano. He's 26 years old, Baltimore native, went to college in Pennsylvania, apparently has also lived in Hawaii. Such an interesting moment. He's on videotape. There's full weight of U.S. law enforcement. The justice system is going to be brought to bear on Mr. Mangiano because we watched him commit the crime on videotape. That's happened before in our country. And I think some people could make an argument that justice hasn't always been meted out fairly, that Lady Justice isn't blind, that we do have two systems here, one for poor folks, and I won't even say poor. Let's just say like people that don't have $1 million to spend on lawyers, right? People that don't have incredible access or incredible influence over the legal system. So what do you all think about this? It's an interesting moment. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mr. Mangiano was arrested based on a tip from either an employee or someone eating at a McDonald's. Michaela from West Bend pointing out on the text line, gee whiz, I hope they never make that person's name public. Yikes. I would tend to agree. There had been a reporting I had seen on Friday and over the weekend that law enforcement was somewhat frustrated by the fact that they weren't getting as much public assistance and tips as they have in the past. Because apparently this guy, there's a 3-page handwritten manifesto, very anti-corporate. Remember the shell casing said, deny, defend, depose, meaning deny the insurance claim, defend the lawsuit when the insured sues, and then depose the insured, fighting coverage all the way. Here are some more facts. He was found with a fake ID in the name of Mark Rosario. That name was used to register at the hostel that he stayed at for 10 days in New York City. He used a different fake ID with the same last name, Mark Rosario, again, to check into that hostel. Let's see what else. He had a gun and a silencer on him. It is a ghost gun. These are guns assembled by a person at home. They're not registered anywhere. So it looks like there's quite a lot of evidence. Interesting side note, I heard reports that he may be related to a Maryland lawmaker. Fascinating. So that's what's going on there. Here's my take, and then I'm going to go to the phones. And the text lines are open, y'all. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So what occurred in the McDonald's, based on the tip, is what is called a Terry stop in policing. Now, I bet unless you've been subject to a Terry stop or you're a lawyer, you probably don't know what the hell that is. A Terry stop is one of the most controversial elements of policing. It is called a Terry stop based on a U.S. Supreme Court case from years ago, Terry versus Ohio. And in it, what the Supreme Court said was that if law enforcement can articulate a reasonable suspicion, you can be stopped and patted down over your clothes. The rationale for the pat down in the Terry stop is that since police have detained you in order to keep yourself from hurting the cop or cops or hurting yourself, police can pat you down, again, only on top of your clothes. Like, they can't stick their hands into your pockets. Now, if they find something that police will say that based on my years of experience felt like drugs or a weapon or a syringe, then they can go into your pockets, because that then has gone from reasonable suspicion to probable cause, and therefore you could be arrested and or detained depending on what the PC itself is. The entire interaction with Mr. Mangiano that occurred at this McDonald's based off of a layperson's maybe ID is going to come down to exactly what transpired in what was most certainly a Terry stop. So I will guarantee you now, I love making predictions on the radio, that this guy's entire defense is going to basically hinge on the legality of the Terry stop. Because if the Terry stop was illegal, then you don't have the gun or the silencer, and then you probably don't have the manifesto, you don't have the fake ID, etc., etc., etc. And why have Terry stops been super controversial? And this gets back to my broader point about, like, what do we think of the state of the justice system in the United States? They're controversial because a reasonable suspicion, well, reasonable to whom? And by the way, most cops I know can look at pretty much anybody doing anything and come up with some rationale for why that looks slightly suspicious under any given set of circumstances. So it's complicated, y'all. Let's go to the phones. Karina from Milwaukee, what do you think? Do we have a justice system or do we have a legal system that we think might on occasion mete out some justice?
Well, obviously, the more you can pay, the more wiggle room you'll have. Because as you said, you know, if you're going to get a public defender, and they have a million cases in their hands, and you know, that's, it is what it is. My thing is that we truly have to look into the situation. Why is it happening? Because coming from the healthcare, I know this man who was killed. Obviously, you shouldn't go around and kill people, but up here, I would believe that.
Karina, we're going to have to leave it there. I got to take care of some business. We're going to pick up the conversation a little bit later in the show. Up next, we've got my next guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk about the LGBTQIA decision that came down, or argument that occurred last week, Wednesday, before the Supreme Court. So y'all keep it locked. We're going to come right back after your farm update right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Today, it's down to policy business for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. The Farm Bureau Federation began their annual meeting on Friday with their Young Farmers and Agriculturalists event. Brad Olson is the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. He says today when he recaps some of the highlights from 2024, he's going to focus in on an item that you might not think about when it comes to Farm Bureau: mental health.
Get these stickers out there. They're in virtually every county cop car in the state of Wisconsin for mental health issues, and not just for farmers, veterans, but as well as children. And that looks like it's going to really take off and move. I mean, we've started there. We've had interest. I had a milk co-op that wanted stickers to put in their milk checks and sent to every patron. So I think that's great. I think that's something that we at Wisconsin Farm Bureau can look forward to really having legs and making an impact in mental health issues, not just for farmers, but for everybody around the state.
Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, says those mental health stickers are an example of a grassroots effort to bring a message to the state scene. He said that conversation of creating the stickers, presenting them to law enforcement, started with local members and moved up. Wisconsin Farm Bureau wraps up their annual meeting with their policy discussion today.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
And last night, during the special awards banquet with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, two were recognized, including Dr. Mark Stevenson presented the Distinguished Service to Wisconsin Agricultural Award for his contributions towards dairy policy, specifically in Wisconsin and abroad. And also from Washington County, Mark Strupp was presented the Farm Bureau Federation's Distinguished Service to Farm Bureau Award. Find more at MidwestFarmReport.com for the rest of convention results. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news. On a Monday, I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and rather mild today, with high temperatures above freezing reaching the mid-30s. As chances of rain rolls in, turning to a wintry mix and flipping to all snow tonight, as temperatures fall below freezing to the teens. Accumulations look to stay under an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who will address all our health needs to make us more efficient TV watchers. Then Nightlight will really go up in smoke when I welcome Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Baby, can't you see?
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, from state to local news, entertainment, sports, and weather, Civic has you covered. We've got our daily news roundup podcast that gives you what you need to know in your community. Head over to your local Civic Media station's website, like WAUK.com in Waukesha and Milwaukee area, which is where I broadcast from, and get signed up for your daily news roundup podcast. It'll be delivered right to you. I've got a great guest, and I have her on in just one sec, but I wanted to give Mark from Prairie du Sac a brief moment to comment. Mark, if you can keep it quick, do we have a justice system or do we have a legal system that sometimes tries to get to justice?
Well, under our Constitution, it's interesting. I was just looking it up. Under the preamble, one of the first things they said after we created a more perfect union is establish justice. And one of our beefs in our in the Declaration of Independence is that we wanted to have justice in this country. And I don't know whether we do or not. I mean, I've heard, you know, they want to compare the protesters on January 6th to those, the Black Lives Matter protests. They say, I've heard people, you know, throw out, well, they, you know, cost $11 billion in damage, and that's not true. That and that, I don't know. I mean, it is just, we have to do something a little different because it just seems like there's not impartial justice being doled out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. And speaking of that potentially impartial justice and impartial protection of our rights and freedoms under the law, I am very happy to bring on Kate Smith. She is the director of the LGBTQI plus policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Kate, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you for making time. We're here to talk about the Supreme Court oral arguments that occurred last Wednesday. This is in the Scrimeti case that deals with gender affirming care for minors, a complete and total ban in the state of Tennessee eventually made its way up to the Supreme Court. I mentioned this on Thursday last week. One of the interesting things is that the question of the parental right to determine health care for children was not taken up by the Supreme Court, which, Kate, I just find fascinating in this greater sort of environment where we hear a lot of vitriol about parental rights to make sure that they can do what they think is best for kids. But the Supreme Court didn't go there here. Interesting. Set the stage for us more, Kate. What's at stake in this decision or this case that's now before the Supreme Court for decision, which will get before the end of the term, which occurs in July, term ends in July. What do you expect? How did you think the oral arguments went? I'm curious because I listened as well and I was concerned.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good way to put it. So what's at stake here is whether young people and their families are able to access best practice medical care. We currently have about 24 states that have some sort of ban or restriction on transgender medical care for young people on the books that have passed in their states, Tennessee being one of them. And as you pointed out, this case was really about equal protection and whether a ban on transgender medical care violates the Equal Protection Clause. And some other lawsuits that are challenging many of these other bans also talk about this issue of parents' rights and the ability of parents to be able to make decisions for their families and the right to direct their medical care as well. So it's a really high stakes case because we know that this type of care is really life-saving and that when young people need it and they're able to access it, it really drastically improves their mental health. It decreases suicidality. It decreases depression and anxiety and really increases positive outcomes for young people. So it's gonna be hugely important. And we'll have to see, like you said, in later next year, how the court rules. I really heard some great things. I heard some concerning things in the arguments. Obviously, there's so many folks who are trying to go through and figure out exactly how might the justices in the Supreme Court land. I think we heard some really sound acknowledgement that this care is really helpful and beneficial for at least some youth. I think there was disagreement among the justices about the benefit of the care and how much benefit this care has and whether there is harm in the potential provision of this care. I think the folks arguing on behalf of families made a really good case to show that it's important that doctors are able to have access and make those decisions about whether this care is useful for their patients rather than judges or legislators. So we'll have to see how it goes from there.
One of the things, Kate, that I found really challenging about the framework for this appeal is that in large part, the outcome may be determined by what level of scrutiny the justices apply to this case. And again, folks, talked about this for over an hour, I think, last week. So you can check those shows out at civicmedia.us/shows/Maggie Dawn Show. But quick refresher, strict scrutiny, you're usually going to find a law overturned as being unconstitutional because government has to articulate a compelling government reason for the restriction that impedes upon usually protected classifications, not just the compelling government interest, but that it, the law is narrowly tailored to serve that. There's intermediate scrutiny, often what is used to review laws that per se discriminate on a gender basis. And then, of course, you have rational basis scrutiny, which is usually a green light and the law is going to be upheld. The thing that raised my eyebrows the most was the suggestion by Justice Thomas that this is not gender discrimination, that this is age discrimination. And that is going to set up, I think, what has to be an ideological battle of some sort on the court itself, because they have a prior decision written by Justice Gorsuch where he says any set of laws or employment, in that case, employment practices that treat people that are transgendered differently than cisgendered people is, of course, per se gender discrimination. And yet here you have Thomas saying, oh, no, it's not that. It's age discrimination. And the reason I find that so troubling and also absurdist in its conception is that all of the care that is at issue or the core elements of healthcare that are at issue there are completely legal for cisgendered children. Any parent can go get those things if their child is cisgendered, including breast augmentation, hormone therapy, or any number of things. But if your child is transgender, then it's illegal, which to me, again, if it's got feathers, it quacks and has webbed feet, it's a freaking duck. It's gender discrimination, which to me, again, leads to that intermediate scrutiny level, which would seem to at least require some rigor from the Supreme Court. Kate, what's your take on that? Because, again, even the suggestion by Thomas that, oh, we'll just call it something else is alarming to me.
Yeah, it's the discussion around level of scrutiny is really interesting. And I think it's important to note that the ACLU and Chief Strangio, who is the first out trans lawyer to argue before the Supreme Court, does maintain that this law is still unconstitutional, even under rational scrutiny. So there's some different, I think, schools of thought about whether this holds up in any level of scrutiny. However, as you're saying, right, a heightened level of scrutiny would mean this is even more unlikely to hold up under, for example, intermediate scrutiny. It's really wild to try to say that this is not gender discrimination. We know that puberty blockers and hormone replacement therapy, which just as an aside, young people are not accessing permanent or difficult to reverse types of gender affirming care when they're very young. Right? The first real medical intervention happens usually around when puberty, when you start seeing signs of puberty, and then maybe you start puberty blockers, which are fully reversible and can be stopped at any time.
And if we can, Kate, let's just re-emphasize that point, because I think this has been so sensationalized as a scare tactic. The idea that your kid could go to school and come back a different job. This is not what happens. If you don't know what the course of best practice gender-affirming care is for minors, it does not include surgical intervention within the first interactions. It takes years, and there is lots of therapy and all, and I mean both psychotherapy to make sure that the child, anyways, it is an extensive, long, and oftentimes difficult, grueling process for any physician to get to the place where they're going to say, yep, I'm going to prescribe puberty blockers or hormone therapy, all of those things. There are all of these incremental steps. It is a very, very, very long, 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 long process. Sorry for the digression, Kate, but extremely important that people understand that.
That gender-affirming care needs to.
Hey, Kate, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Cardi, are you hearing that as well? Why don't you...
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust the audio right now.
Exit and come back in, Kate. Let's try... Wait, let's try you now. Let's see how you're doing.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yep. Oh, there you are. Back in full volume. No problem.
Okay.
But anyways, go ahead.
The idea, or there's this like misconception, right, that we're handing out surgeries to kids all over the place. And in reality, it's extremely rare. And the idea of gender affirming care for young people really is actually built to give families as much time as possible to determine the best course of treatment before considering more permanent changes. And to note, puberty is a permanent change. So when we require young people to go through a puberty that does not match their gender identity, that's also permanent, right? So ensuring that folks have access to puberty blockers allows them more time to make those types of decisions.
So critically important. Again, a lot of misinformation out there. So what are the potential outcomes from this case, Kate? And what does this mean for Wisconsin families?
Yeah, so there's one option where the Supreme Court says, yes, this law is absolutely unconstitutional. Maybe they apply that heightened level of scrutiny and effectively nullify this ban that could have ramifications for the around 24 states that also have bans on this care in place. They could return the case back down to a lower court with a recommendation that the lower court assess it with that heightened level of scrutiny. Again, this case is unlikely to hold up to a heightened level of scrutiny. Or they could say that rational scrutiny is the most appropriate and say that they believe that this case or this law is constitutional under rational scrutiny. And in that case, then there are other lawsuits happening that maybe we'll see some other angles about discussing the unconstitutionality of banning this type of care. In Wisconsin, I know in 2023, Governor Evers vetoed a ban on trans medical care for young people. And so it's totally possible, right, in 2025 that we see the state legislature discuss this issue again, and we could see it move through the legislature again. So this case will have certainly really big ramifications there. And this case could have ramifications for everybody's access to care. If states are able to decide that some folks can have access to the same level of care and other folks cannot, then we're talking about things like birth control, reproductive care, and other forms of medical care that have had attempts to legislate in the past. So this really is about all of us and our access to best practice care.
Folks, that is Kate Smith. She is the director of LGBTQIA policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I'm going to be back with more with her. We're going to discuss some of the insinuations from some of the members on the court that, well, Europe's pulling back and that makes this ban totally fine, and why that's actually very, very misleading. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays, and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the 2024 election, estimates show that more than 83 million Americans voted early in person or by mail. President Donald Trump said December 5th he wants to look at returning to same-day voting. Speaking at a Fox Nation award ceremony where Trump was honored as the network's Patriot of the Year, he said, quote, "We're going to do things that have really been needed for a long time, and we are going to look at elections. We want to have paper ballots, one-day voting, voter ID, and proof of citizenship," unquote. Early voting options have expanded to 46 states since 2000. Election data company TargetSmart estimates almost 83.7 million Americans voted early in person, universal mail ballot, or absentee ballot. Among that 83.7 million were 35.16 million Republican early voters. The Texas Tribune reports that in the state's most reliably red counties, 50.4% of votes were cast early. In Trump's home state of Florida, where voting by mail is popular among seniors, over 3 million voters voted by mail and over 5.6 million votes were cast early in person, according to Secretary of State figures. The U.S. Supreme Court, which has deferred to the power of states to regulate elections, is unlikely to embrace any federal mandate to curb state-implemented early voting. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest this half hour is Kate Smith. She's the director of the LGBTQI plus policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thank you for making time, Kate. I really appreciate it. One of the things that I hear get thrown about is, oh, well, you know, England and Sweden and Finland are restricting gender affirming care. And the first point there is, I don't know if I would use the word restrict. What they're doing is exploring additional scientific research. They're trying to increase the body of scientific understanding and studies because there just hasn't, there's been some, but not as much as I think anybody would like, especially longitudinal, or that's the fancy speak for very long-term studies. But what is really disingenuous about that argument, in my opinion, Kate, is that nowhere in countries that have addressed this that are analogous in government structure to the United States have banned all forms of gender-affirming care for all transgender minors, no matter what. Like, that's what Tennessee's ban is. That's what most of the state bans here in these United States have done. And that is in no way, shape, or form analogous to what has happened in other Western European countries. And second of all, I've really never heard the Kavanaughs at all invoke European gun regulations as a justification for restrictive gun laws or any gun regulation here. They don't seem to be at all interested in what's happening in Western Europe on that front. It just seems really disingenuous, your response to these kinds of arguments. Can you turn Kate on, Cardi? Hang on one second, Kate. We'll get you there. Sure. No worries. There you go, my friend.
Sure. So this comes up often from folks who are trying to find some piece of evidence to justify banning this care. And this often comes up when we discuss the fact that every major medical association in the United States supports access to gender-affirming care for young people. And sure, there are countries that are, like you said, looking into further studies. We can also find countries that have really expansive gender-affirming care policies outside of the U.S. for young people. So to kind of cherry-pick some countries that, by the way, I'm certainly don't know very many people who are comparative political experts in both countries to be able to say the difference in what their courts do versus ours and how that interacts with their medical bodies. So I think we actually have a host of really great experts and information here, and also the young people that are at risk here in the United States that we can listen to and look to for good expert information on gender affirming care.
I can't imagine anything that would impact my mental health more greatly than feeling completely alien in my own body, or that it wasn't mine. I cannot envision anything. I cannot imagine that feeling. I cannot imagine how impactful that would be, especially for a young person. And this idea of individual identity and our rights to pursue that in this country, sometimes I think with blind fidelity often to how our individual choices may impact other people. Here, this is a choice that doesn't impact anyone else. This is a choice that is only impacting that family, that individual child. Again, there is a massive continuum of care. You don't pass go and go directly to the most extreme interventions. The idea that in certain circumstances, we simply forget or seem enchanted by the idea that some people's beliefs can be imposed on others at the expense of someone's individual choices that only impact themselves, unlike so many others, seems so contrary to some of our most closely held principles and values. What are your thoughts, Kate?
Yeah, I think the panic that I know many feel as parents and people who have young loved ones in their lives, when they think about dysphoria and the potential impacts of dysphoria, I can really empathize with folks who want to pretend that young people can't experience that. Because it's so scary to think about, like you said, living in a body that doesn't feel like yours. Terrifying. The good news is that we have some good treatments for it. And I have a lot of empathy for folks who have so much fear, who have such a big response, right, to this idea that that could happen to young people. Unfortunately, they may be going the way of trying to ban care so that we can pretend it doesn't happen and pretend it doesn't exist. Right. But it does. It does happen and it does exist. And we do know that when young folks are able to access care, that they do so much better. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just transgendered folk have existed through all of recorded human history. I've made this point again and again, and wishing it were otherwise does not make it so. It simply undermines people's human dignity. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Kate Smith, folks, she is the director of LGBTQIA plus policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. It was a real pleasure to speak with you this afternoon. I hope to do it again sometime soon. Everybody, keep it locked. We're going to talk a little bit about the breaking news in Syria, as well as some breaking news about the Madison Teachers Union, all coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers is in with Tuesday Tangents and more of our grown-up gift list text to win contest. It's statewide. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.